Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen, powered by Eli K25. We are thrilled to join you on WWDB 860 AM 97.5 HD2, part of the Beasley Media Group, ready to help you move into the weekend, talking about all the news in the world of sports. What's up, Mr. Cohen?
I don't know. You had a little emphasis on the HD2. A little pep in your step today.
I got a little bit excited. Football's back.
What's going on?
Football.
You get excited for Friday the 13th? Is that your thing?
I get excited for this time of year. There's a chill in the air. The sports are good.
Well, you're the superstitious one of the two of us.
Yeah.
So we now have Friday the 13th that's upon us.
I've never been a big
Friday. How you feeling?
I've never been a big Friday the 13th person. Like, that, it's a day.
Mr. Superstition, that's where you draw the line?
I guess.
It always amazes me, the lines you draw.
They're random.
On arbitrary stuff.
Yes, rather. I'm pretty good at finding arbitrary lines to draw and then defending those positions very well. I'm good at that.
Well, this is nowhere in anything that we prepared, but since it is Friday the 13th, I'll just ask you to put you on the spot. What's your biggest sports superstition?
Oh, well, you broke it the other day.
The jinx?
The no-hitter jinx. So, all right, we were going to start with football, but we're going to start with baseball now. Because I text you, the Mets are being...
I have power that I didn't know, and I used it for...
No hit, and I see it, and I think about texting it to him, and I think to myself, you know what? I don't want to jinx the no-hitter, and I would rather the Mets get no hit, and they come in off of a loss to Philadelphia, off of being no hit, and field down. Jeff Cohen, on the other hand, has no fear of said jinx and sends me a text message hoping to break the jinx or some crazy nonsense like that. And when I look next, it is 6-1 the Mets, and they're coming in feeling all good to Philadelphia this evening. So that is actually one of my biggest sports jinxes, is kind of talking about things before they happen, because I have any control over ruining them to happen, but I, for some reason, don't do it.
I, on the other hand, have power.
Look, they blew up.
How many times has it happened? Like, I very rarely will text during a sporting event. You know that.
But each time
happens. The power is definitely emanating from those texts.
So why don't you use your power for good then, damn it?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
As I end most shows, I got nothing.
we spent this week with game-winning RBIs by Cody Clemens, Cal Stevenson, right? And Weston Wilson. Couldn't we get a Mets no-hit bid? Come on, you had to blow that up?
By the way, that pitcher has had two no-hitters after 8 innings in his last 4 starts.
You want to talk about unrequited.
And then had... I'm not sure.
Loses on a home run in both games.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gave it on a home, and it was the first batter. It was Lindor in the 9th, who probably should win MVP this year.
I was just going to say that, regardless of what you think of as a Phillies fan, I don't know how. I get Ohtani. I do.
50-50, you got to consider the guy.
I get it. But Lindor is not only an MVP candidate offensively this year, and has, I would argue, single-handedly dragged the Mets into the playoff race.
But they are not a team that I want to play in the playoffs.
He's a defensive wizard.
Yeah.
Ohtani, his turf hasn't seen grass in forever.
Yeah. Look, I talked the boys down Tuesday night, which it's fun. I mean, I talk about it on the radio a lot with you. They're at an age now where, like, Adam, my 4-year-old, started T-ball. So he's, like, more into it. It was the most that we sat and watched a baseball game. Like, when we went to the first game this year, I felt like we went to the bathroom twice an inning. But for this one, like, we sat there, we watched the game, they had questions. I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. Watching a baseball game with my boys. I'm not going and buying souvenirs. And, oh, it's funny, man. It is funny stuff watching the kids figuring out which base to run to.
Swings do they get? Do they get to keep until they hit it fair?
Participation trophy all the way, Jeff. Everybody's just out there to have. They're 4 years old. What do you want me to do? No. Put them through gassers?
No, but you know, it can be 10 swings and then move on.
Of course.
Like, there are kids that when I coached T-ball, it was like, okay, what do I do here?
You were making the kids run uphill both ways, weren't you?
No, I wasn't that kind of coach.
They actually had the kids run out into the outfield just because they wanted them to run some energy out.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Because the alternative. So you're now watching T-ball. This is fall ball, right?
Yes.
All right. Have you, or do you have one, two, or more kids so far that have sat down and started digging around themselves?
No, none. And that was
none.
Okay, so here's the thing. My oldest,
there's always a digger. Always.
Oh, you mean my kid?
No, not your. I'm not saying.
Oh, there were three kids digging away at the dirt. And
say, well, then how did you say none?
Oh, you I thought you meant of my kids. Did I have zero? No. One, because I have two kids, so I didn't know.
No, it's the first thing that you notice, especially when you go on to coaching later on, as you walk over the t-ball field, and there is always at least one kid that is sitting down in the dirt digging away. And I don't understand. The whole world knows that there are those kids. And at some point, don't you sit your kid down and just say to your kid, hey, look, if you're going to go out there and play t-ball, you got to stand. That's it. That's the minimal. So forget the participation jersey.
I'm just going to
stand. Don't dig.
I'm just going to remind you that at 4 years old, when you tell them to do something, it's like asking them not to. Like, they're immediately going to revolt against that. So, like, I felt bad. There was one family where they definitely wanted the kid to play, and they tried to get the kid to go up to the plate to hit. They tried to have the sister go up there and encourage them. The father, that kid wanted nothing to do with hitting at all. But my kid, they were like, who wants to hit? He just stood up there, kept taking swings. He didn't care. He was like, give me the bat again. Yeah.
So you have your diggers.
Yes.
You have your kids who decide to wear their glove as a hat.
Yes.
There's always a couple of those. Yes. And then there's the kids who fill their entire glove with dirt.
I didn't see any of those.
Oh, well, that's coming.
Give me time. We've got a couple more weeks of this.
That kid will ultimately decide to put his glove on his hat, and the dirt will all end up on his head.
You know me. I'm not going to be the dad that pushes my kid to like live my sports dreams through him. But I was kind of impressed with my kid's skill at 4 years old there.
yeah, but you can have a small aspiration of standing while playing t-ball.
No, look, mine was all into
it. That's it. That's all I asked.
Mine was all into it. He didn't want to leave the field after it was done. And then when we went to the baseball game the other night, he was saying, oh, they ran to the right base, not like my friend who ran to third base after a hit when they got a hit. So it was cool. We sat up in 400. We saw home runs, lots of hits, particularly off of Ranger Suarez. And then the benches cleared too. So the boys got to see the whole thing. They didn't understand why the guys were running in from the bullpen out in the outfield. Try explaining to a four-year-old why the whole bullpen is running out of the outfield and the
why nothing bullpen happens. They all just stare at each other.
Well, the best part is the Rays bullpen has to go down the steps to get out of the bullpen.
Like, well, did somebody hold the door open for them as they were running out?
I'm just watching it clear and trying to explain to the kids why there are people running and yelling at each other on the field.
Just so you know, that was actually a better segue than you even think it is, because we were just talking about four-year-olds playing t-ball, and Castellanos compared the Rays pitcher to a two-year-old.
I know. And look, you mean the changeup that went 96 miles an hour that was the hardest pitch he's thrown in his career?
Does this guy not think he's getting suspended?
Oh, he got suspended for three games. Cash got suspended again. Right,
so what did he think? You know, did he really think that nobody... We all know how fast every pitch goes.
Well, and then Castellanos gets hit again.
Him saying he threw a changeup.
Yeah, that was... Look, if you were watching the game, you knew that wasn't an accident. That pitch had no chance of being a strike. It wasn't intended to be a strike. Either way, the Phillies take three games from the Rays.
Out of three.
They're 88-58. They've won 9 of 11.
Best record in baseball.
14 of their last 18. They're 8-2 in September. They're 30 games over 500. I have no idea.
Because now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to tick off what's going on here. Schwarber, elbow injury, sliding back to the base. Didn't play. The last game, didn't play. JT Realmuto, injured, hasn't played in, a week? Harper hasn't hit a home run in a month, but he's at least playing. Turner was hurt earlier this year. Bohm can't swing a bat because of his wrist, and nobody can figure out what's going on because it's not even structural, according to all the tests that they've told us about. Ranger, you keep telling me every time he throws a pitch that his velocity is down.
It is.
But the number of times that you have told me that Ranger Suarez's velocity is down, if it went down a half mile per hour each time you told me, he'd be in negative digits at this point.
He gave up 12 hits the other night.
The way you're talking, he's throwing 32 miles an hour.
He did give up 12 hits the other night.
Okay, but what's he down to?
Some of them were in the high 80s. He's down a couple miles.
Did he hit 90 at all?
I think he hit 90 or 91 once or twice, but he didn't hit a lot. And it's more the contact that's being made. It was from early in the game, and it's been a couple games now where it's concerning.
Right. Okay. So here's my thought, because I do think at least hitting, they got, how they're able to score runs at this point is beyond me. Don't the guys forget, that have come in the game, Buddy Kennedy.
Yes.
I mean, like the list of people that you go through, nothing personal against Buddy Kennedy, but that's not what we thought was going to be happening. And that was the lineup going into the playoffs. They had a catcher the other day that, when's the last time we saw him?
He made a great play in the ninth inning.
But where did he come? What happened to Marshawn?
Marshawn got hurt. So Garcia was who they brought up.
Surprise, surprise. Marshawn's always hurt. Otherwise, that he would be up here. So you have all these injuries on offense, but the biggest one of concern is Ranger, because Ranger had such a great beginning of the season, because Ranger has been lights out in the last few playoffs. And I'm going to say, at least for a couple more starts, give Thompson's explanation, just a little bit of creed. Maybe he's wrong, but he's like, normally after a back injury, we would send him to the minors for 3 or 4 starts. He's been doing his rehab at the major league level. Yeah, and yesterday was his third start. So his command is not great at this point. He still has a little less than a month to get it together. What, three or four more starts? What are there, 16 games left? So 3 or 4 starts left. And I guess 3, and see what happens. And if we need to panic, we need to panic, because I still think Sanchez is better than most third pitchers that will be in the playoffs. The question then is, if they need a fourth starter, who in the world is it going to be?
Well, and that, I mean, Sanchez has made all 28 of his scheduled starts this season. He's got a 3.33 ERA and throwing 165 innings. It's a career high. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hope he can keep that up.
And he doesn't have, if he has a crappy game, he doesn't have a bunch of them in a row.
No, he kind of bounces back and kind of forgets it. But that fifth spot is a black hole right now. And that's why Ranger isn't rehabbing in the minors, because they already have one vacant hole that they keep shuttling somebody in every fifth day to throw a couple pitches until they get rocked and out of the game.
Yeah. And I don't remember if it was on air or if it was just an off air conversation between us. You were very excited about Seth Johnson.
It did not go well.
You were on air. Him as a top prospect.
Whoever
they said.
This is what you do. Orioles. You take a kernel of truth and you exaggerate. I did not call him a top prospect. I said got prospects who were playing well in the minors for Gregory Soto. It clearly did not go well when he came up to the majors. But
that
do not
did
turn
not
it into
that comment
anything
did not
more
age well
than it was there.
No.
Look, yeah, I feel good about Wheeler. I feel good about Nola. I feel good about Sanchez. I'm concerned about Ranger. Thank God they won't need a fifth pitcher in playoffs. The bullpen seems to be kind of coming around. I still don't feel great about Alvarado, but he made his third straight 1-2-3 appearance. He's gone 7 in a row without allowing a run. He's pitched better since coming back from whatever the issue was that he left the team.
Right.
Kirkring looks to have found himself again. So they seem to have 4 or 5 solid arms. You know, they count Ruiz as 6. I know you still shudder to think him in a big game.
No way.
I know, but I mean, if you're going into the playoffs with 3 to 4 solid starters and 5 solid bullpen arms.
Yeah, he's better than most.
That's not a bad place to be.
Yes.
They are currently, their magic number to clinch the East is 9. They're 8 games up on the Mets, 9 on the Braves. They play their first of 7 games against the Mets tonight for the next 2 weeks. The division standings is what matters more, though, because they need to avoid the wild card, because they don't want to be playing the Mets. And so they've got a 1-game lead over the Dodgers for the 1 seed, and a 4.5 game lead over the Braves now, which is big because they play the Brewers, which is big because they start a series with the Brewers next week. So, you know, all these, you could say they have all these leads, but they're playing all these teams head to head. So they've got to figure out how to keep the wins coming. It sounds like they may get JT back tonight. Kyle should be back.
Right.
Who knows about Bohm? I haven't really seen much about Sosa when he would come back.
Or Austin. And don't forget Austin Hayes.
Did you see the story the Inquirer did about how much he's gone through with that kidney infection? It seems like he has had a health struggle for the last couple months that he didn't even realize what was going on until, you know, he just wasn't getting better.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is at least they've identified it. The question is whether or not he's going to be healthy enough that he can contribute the way that they thought that he would be able to contribute going into the playoffs.
Will you be wearing your City Connect jersey tonight at the game?
No, I will not. Which City Connect jersey do you think I have?
Well, do you have tickets for any of this weekend's games?
I have for tonight. Yeah, I'll be tonight. Going okay. to see Nola. Yeah.
Okay. So he gets the start tonight. Colby right. Allard gets the start on Saturday and Sanchez is on the mound on Sunday. Then they head right. to Milwaukee for three. Mm-hmm. Then the Mets in New York.
Again. Yep.
And then after that, they've got six left to play in October.
I'm going to tell you that tonight is going to be the most important game for the rest of the season. They need to set a tone that they can beat the Mets because they got seven games against them. The Mets are hot as can be. And so Nola needs to be able to set the tone and not have a Nola clunker. He's got to have a solid game, and they've got to somehow pull out this first game to set the tone. They cannot go into this going because tomorrow, as you just said, Colby Allard starting. So you want to set the tone. Here's a question unrelated to the Phillies and the Mets. Craig Counsell, what was he thinking?
No idea.
Last year he decides to leave the Brewers to go to the Cubs, and the Brewers are going to be in the playoffs, and the Cubs are not.
Yes.
Like, what was the plan there? Like, is it just, is he a Chicago guy?
I have no idea. A lot of money, probably. That'd be my guess.
Okay.
Rhys Hoskins going to the playoffs there with the Brewers. Who's your biggest concern of team you don't want Mets. To play? The Mets. That Mets. I feel the same way.
Yeah. And that's, by the way, who they would likely play. So if they win it would be shocking if they don't win the division. Assuming they win the division, they're playing the sixth seed. Sixth seed, more than likely, is going to be the Mets. It's either going to be the Mets or the Braves. So you're going to have a division rival, and that's why you do not want to be playing the wild card. And you want these guys, I'd rather have them rest and a little rusty than having to go through that round. It will be really good for this team that is a MASH unit at this point to get a little rest.
Have you seen a season like this in a while where they keep losing guys? I mean, the Braves have kind of had the same thing, keep losing guys. And I mean, the Phillies have done it better, but keep winning. I mean,
not just keep winning. If you just follow the day to day of what's going on with the Phillies and the number of people that have gone down for lengths of time, including Trey Turner earlier in the season, you then sit there. And if I say to you, they have the best record in all of baseball, you go, huh?
Like, I told you, really, who had the walk-off.
They don't seem like the best record in all of baseball team, at least the second half of the season.
I told you who had the game-winning RBIs this week. I mean, guys that weren't even on the roster in June. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this team. I have concerns. I'm really concerned about Harper. He looks like he's in pain when he swings. And he tells you that swing and the miss. You can see the pain in what he's doing, and I don't know how that gets better before the playoffs, and they need him in that lineup Look, he's still hitting .288. He still had four hits the other night. It's just the power isn't there.
I know, but would it be worth it to... Okay, let's play this out. Phillies win 2 out of 3 this weekend. You give Harper a week off? 4 days off?
I would, like, but he has said and indicated that he doesn't think taking time off will help. I don't see how, but...
I don't see how...
I mean, I hurt myself. If I take some time off, I get better. But
it doesn't make sense to me. And the one thing he doesn't have is a World Series ring. So you would think that, look, he's a smart guy. He knows a lot about his own body. We don't. But it just seems to me if he can get a few days off to a week off to just rest it, maybe whatever's going on there at least cools down a little bit, right?
Before we move to some football, I just got to ask you, you think Shohei gets to 50-50?
What's he at now?
Like 47, 48, something like that. He's close.
How could he? How could he? The stolen bases, he's got close to 15, 16 games left.
Yeah. Like, he's really
the home
close.
Runs are less likely. The stolen bases he'll get. I don't think that will be a problem. The question is whether or not he's going to get the home runs, and that's more dependent on whether pitchers pitch to him.
Is he the best player you've ever seen?
Is he the best player I've ever seen. Does that include people who did steroids?
Well, I guess it has to because he does it all: pitching, fielding, running, hitting.
Is he the he's the most versatile player?
Most versatile. Okay, that's a good way to say it.
Actually, I don't think I've ever actually seen him play in person.
Okay, I haven't seen him play in person either.
But of our generation, is he the most versatile? Yes, he's one of the most versatile, if not the most versatile in the history of the game. Is he the best player ever? If you're counting steroids, I'm going to cringe and tell you probably the best player I've ever seen in person would be Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
And that's the sad part of it, because he was that good without the steroids.
Yeah. Well,
alleged steroids.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But he went that route.
All right. Why don't we leave it there? You want to talk some football?
It's a sad part of baseball.
You want to talk some football?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Daniel Jones last week.
As long as it's not starting with college football.
Daniel Jones last week, Jeff.
Oh, okay. I thought when you said football, I thought that meant the soccer kind. I didn't think that was the American football thing.
No. I mean, you've already given me your response in text message with which was an emoji when I asked you about Saquon. So I'll get to that in a minute.
The middle finger?
It was not a very nice emoji that you sent me back when I texted you about Saquon doing good things for the Eagles.
Did you laugh?
I thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
I mean, I felt bad texting you. He's like running all over the Packers.
Oh, you felt terrible.
Well, actually, I was wondering.
Come
on. I was more wondering how Joe Schoen was doing watching the game than how Jeff Cohen was doing the game. John Mara was probably down in his office going, "What were you doing?"
For people that don't realize it, Daniel Jones has been with the Giants for 6 years. 6 years. Eli Manning's been around, has been gone for quite a while at this point. And the Giants are stuck with Daniel Jones. Now, the things that fans are saying and stuff, you know me, I'm not a booer. I'm not somebody who thinks that it's appropriate to go scream at somebody and do the, and we'll talk about the Venmo stuff later on. But Daniel Jones should not be a starting quarterback with the Giants. Go if he wants to go try to resurrect his career with somebody else and argue that it's because his offensive line is a bunch of trash cans. He's welcome to go try. He's never going to be a success in the Giants uniforms, including those garbage uniforms that they wore.
They look like the Montreal Canadiens. What the hell was that?
I don't get it.
I get it's a throwback their 100th season. Something.
They know they're going to suck. At least have cool uniforms.
They know they're going to suck.
They're horrible.
Look, we were on the air.
Giants and their uniforms.
We were on the air the day that Daniel Jones signed his extension. And I celebrated on the air. I said as long as he was there, everything would be good as an Eagles fan. Do you know since he signed?
You were correct.
Do you know since it's about time I get one right? Since he signed his new contract, he's thrown more.
Yes, I'm aware.
But our listeners don't know that.
Yes, they do. Who doesn't know at this? Raise your hand in the audience if you don't know that Daniel Jones has more pick sixes to the other team than he has touchdown passes to his own receiver.
Not that our listeners care because they're not Giants fans, but I just enjoy needling Jeff a little bit.
Yes, they do. They're hate watchers.
You think
there's
a
percentage of people
too?
That are like you that are hate watchers?
I love how you know.
You were hate watching. This weekend, you were texting me about the Cowboys game.
I wasn't hate watching. I was watching. I was watching the Cowboys game to hear Brady. I honestly was not hate watching Cowboys Browns. I was not interested in the result, really. I was more interested in Brady's call of the game.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Of course you do. It is to the benefit of your Eagles for the Cowboys to lose.
But I didn't think they were going to lose. So therefore,
no, but you wanted them to.
I wake up in the morning wanting the Cowboys to lose. Okay,
right.
Like that's not a special day. It's a day that ends in Y where that occurs. there's nothing there. I will ask you: did you expect Baker Mayfield to turn out better as a quarterback than Deshaun Watson? Talk about being a Browns fan.
I know it's I feel bad for Browns fans. What they've gone through and having an owner this stupid. If you go back and you think about this, what Haslam did was a trade, right? Mm-hmm. It was not a free agent maneuver. He didn't have to pay him.
No.
An entire guaranteed contract, the biggest ever at the time.
Nope.
It was not necessary. And he did that. And I have no idea how many more decades they have under this contract. But he's a horrible quarterback. And I would argue he's a worse person.
Well, and now and there's more.
And now they're dealing with that again. And if you don't think that there's about a dozen law firms that are now on retainer by the Browns trying to find a way to get out of this contract, you'd be wrong. There has to be a fleet of lawyers that are sitting there looking at this contract going, there's got to be some morals clause or something that we can get out. And because this is a new allegation. And of course, his people are going to say, no, it's old. It was dated back to whenever. But this is a problem. He's a problem. I don't know why it is.
Cleveland.
They don't see that. And the question is, if you're a Browns fan, how long is Jimmy Haslam going to double down on Deshaun Watson because of his contract when it's possible that this team is a playoff team, even with Jameis Winston?
The Browns traded 6 picks, which the Texans turned into 10
very good players.
10 picks, including defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson, starting wide receiver, Tank Dell, starting left guard, Kenyon Green, starting free safety, Kalen Bullock, starting quarterback, Kamari Lassiter, wide receiver, John Michi. Like, their whole team was built by trading Deshaun Watson, who now is locked into the worst contract in football, for a team that looks for any way to get out from under it, and now is more allegations against his off-the-field behavior. Yep. It's just, I wouldn't be able to deal with. And look, the Eagles dodged a bullet, because there was a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson here. And, you know, you and I talked about it at the time. We didn't want to have that rooting for that here. Hadn't worked out for them. So let's talk.
Michael Vick was enough for the city.
So let's talk about what we did see. Season opened in Brazil. Eagles go 1-0. Story was really overcoming turnover separate from the field, which I'll get to.
I was going to say on the turf.
You knew I was going to complain about that when you saw the field, right?
Of course you were. It's always a toss-up. Are you going to get field conditions or are we going to get refereeing?
I still haven't stopped complaining about the Super Bowl. So if you thought that I was letting the field go with Brazil, you were out of your mind.
Yeah, but as much as you want to complain, if you're an Eagles fan, Jordan Love is out.
Yeah. So look, he's my fantasy starting quarterback. I complained about that.
Yeah,
too.
Mine too.
So, I mean, this was only the Eagles' second game in the last 20 years, and they scored 34 offensive points despite 3 or more turnovers. So you can chalk some up to the field position, the footing, everything like that. But there was some ball security issues, some concerns there. This is my first time seeing Saquon in a game like that. I know you've watched him as somebody who roots for the Giants for years. He was faster than I thought he'd be. And I kept saying to you, I want to see him in front of a real offensive line. Is this did you see this with the Giants, or were there bigger holes there that he was running through? Because, I mean, he was...
Were there bigger holes where? With the Giants? There were no holes.
No, well, I'm saying, I mean, he had some real
You didn't
holes
get to there. See him do... So what you saw mostly as a Giants fan was his power. Because he's not speed or power. He's both. That's the uniqueness of him. And when he was with the Giants, because there were no holes, because the offensive line was so bad, the only time he got to show his speed for the most part, and there were some plays he would bust through the line, but were him having to go to the outside. That got shut down because every defensive coordinator knew how bad the offensive line was, so they would make sure to cover the outsides of the line. You're getting to see, as an Eagles fan, with an offensive line, that he will still drag people when he needs to, but he's not going to need to as much because he's going to get through that first line of defenders more times than not. And then he can turn on the Jets.
How about the reception on the first touchdown on the wheel route, showing the hands there? I mean, he really...
Well, you know, he wasn't a very good receiver coming out of college.
I wasn't sure how
he has become a better receiver as he is a guy who works at his craft. So anybody that wants to knock him, he is a hard worker. He's gone through injury. He's come back stronger as a result of those injuries. And he is now on a team where he can show what he's capable of doing. And he's on a team where he's worth the contract. So I know you started with what the Giants general manager is thinking. The fact is, he wouldn't be doing this if he was on the Giants.
Well, no, this goes.
And it would be a waste of money because the fact is, they were going to stink with him or without him.
This happened 2 years ago when they decided to sign Daniel Jones. When they decided to keep him, keeping Saquon made no sense because they weren't going to be in a time frame that fit Saquon's window.
Yes. And so the biggest gripe with Joe Shane is he should have traded him at some point and gotten value. They didn't get better.
You mean like
as the, a result of a trade, they just got worse and didn't get anything.
You mean like the Texans?
That's a bad general manager.
Deshaun Watson getting six picks for a guy they didn't want.
I mean, yeah, like, it's almost as bad, but not as bad. I'll just go back to baseball for a second. As the Angels
getting
not trading Shohei Ohtani and getting a bunch of prospects, and instead riding out a season that meant nothing, and just like every season, isn't it? And letting the most versatile player in baseball and one of the best and an MVP just walk away.
I didn't understand
that's
it.
Two bad owner general managers.
I didn't understand it. We'll get to Hurts in a second, AJ and Devontae, but I've talked all offseason about Kellen Moore. I saw the Eagles run pre-snap motion. I saw them scheme guys open. They picked up a blitz, Jeff. I didn't know you could do that in the NFL. Like, you're allowed to stop.
And by the way,
the guy,
that's the other thing that Saquon does.
Picked up a blitz.
Exactly.
He's a three and four down back. He can be there. Like, you don't have to take him out when it's a passing down, and you need to make sure that you need to pick up the blitzer. And it was exciting to see what looked like a modern day offense from this Eagles team. They were 4 of 14 on third down. They still managed to put up 34 points and 410 yards. They had some costly turnovers. I would prefer Hurts not take some of those shots. I know the one downfield to AJ in the end zone, he kind of waved his hand out there. The first drive of the game, I'd rather kick it than try to force it to Devontae. But the defense was there to kind of hold them back. Your thoughts on what we saw out of Jalen Hurts with so many questions about him this offseason?
He looked good and not great. I mean, is there a better way to describe
the way that
he played?
I think that's exactly the way to explain it. I'm not sure.
But the question is, do you need great? And now that you have a true running game, if you have an offensive coordinator who uses it properly, unlike Deion Sanders, and we can get this is what you need.
I prefer he manage the game. He doesn't have to go be the hero and make all the plays. He's got weapons. Take the check down. Live to the next play.
He's got his money. He has nothing to prove now. Now it's time to win a Super Bowl.
You know what surprised me, by the way? Knowing that Eagles were so bad at picking up the blitz last year, Packers only blitzed on 19% of their plays. I really thought they would bring more pressure. I don't know if it's because of the field conditions. They couldn't get upfield.
You cannot blitz when you have a running back like Barkley.
I guess.
If you blitz, there are two things that happen if you have somebody like Barkley. He sees a hole, he runs through it, or he chip blocks, goes out, and he's open over the middle of the field.
We wondered about the new offensive line configuration, just 8 total pressures, no sacks or hits on 38 drop packs. AJ and Devontae, 5 catches for 188 yards for AJ, 8 catches for 84 yards, 2 big ones on the final drive for Devontae. I don't know that you could ask for much more out of the offense to start the season.
Are you happy with the new center?
I think it's going to take time, but yeah, I do think he's going to end up being really good. I don't think it's fair. It's never fair to follow the guy that, you know, is the legend in the city because everybody compares him. But I actually heard Kelsey talking earlier this week, and he thinks that Juergens will eventually be better than him. I do think it's going to take some time. The one fumbled snap, Hurts clearly wasn't ready for the ball when Juergens snapped it. But all in all, I did not think he played terribly. I think there are things to clean up, but given all of the questions we had after the way they finished last season so listless and all the changes they were making up front this year, I felt pretty good about what I saw. You know, I didn't have a great feeling going into that game. They came home with a win. That's really what matters. You know, defense at first glance, not ideal. They give up 29 points and 414 yards, you know, 720 plus yard plays, but they still shut. There were 2 turnovers with short fields earlier in the game that they shut down. So I don't know. I don't feel terrible about it coming out of the first game.
I know you're looking at me going, why am I laughing?
Yeah,
why is Jeff laughing? Jeff's laughing because you saying you didn't feel good going into a game is the most.
I never feel good going about a game.
Standard comment you could ever make about any team you root for.
Do I ever let myself feel good about going into a
never.
Game?
Never. That's I don't know why I couldn't stop laughing.
Have you seen Bryce Huff? Did he make the trip to Brazil? Did he make the plane?
As far as I know, no. Why?
Because he and Hassan Reddick had about the same impact in week one, and Hassan Reddick was not on the field. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen there, but Brandon Graham had a much larger role than I thought would happen. And that's not ideal when you're making a trade for a guy like
that. Well, maybe they can trade back for Hassan Reddick.
It looks like the Jets will eventually have to move him. I mean, they're just totally at an impasse right now.
Well, how are they going to move him?
Somebody will trade for him. They'll buy low.
That's what the Eagles did.
I know.
They traded for him because they were at a contract stalemate. The Jets brought him in, and the exact same thing happened. It's Reddick's fault.
He told them what he wanted before trade.
No, it's the Jets' fault for trading and not believing what he said, but it's the rest of the league that's now going to sit there and say, is he worth the money? And I don't think anybody's going to say he's worth that money. So who's going to trade in season for him unless somebody's defender gets hurt? Except the Falcons. They'll take on any old defender.
It always seems like there's a team that's willing to give up things for somebody. And so I do think that at some point he'll be moved. It does not look like he's going to be on the field with the Jets, who did not look very good against the Niners at all.
Let's talk about the Falcons for a second.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me about them.
Kirk Cousins?
No, he looked like a statue back there. He did not look very good. And their offensive line didn't look great.
So the reason I asked that question is, do you feel good about Monday's game?
I feel better about Monday's game than I did last week.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, Pittsburgh's defense is nothing to sneeze at. So, like, they're, you know, anytime you have TJ Watt wrecking up something, you have to take it for what it is. But Kirk Cousins does not look comfortable moving coming off of his injury. Their offensive line gave up pressure on him, did not let him settle. The biggest question is, can the Eagles' run defense stop Bijan Robinson? I mean, that's what has to happen. The Eagles' run defense against Green Bay, they gave up 163 rushing yards on 21 carries. So the interior line there, the Jordan Davises of the world, have to be there and clog that up so the defense can have a better matchup and shut it down. That's my concern, is the Bijan Robinson matchup.
Well, Vegas seems to think it's not going to be much of a game.
What are they, 6.5?
6.5, I think, is what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the Eagles should win.
It's at home. Does this count as the home opener?
You know, that's a good question.
Weren't they the home team in Brazil?
They were. They played Fly Eagles.
This is not the home opener.
We glossed over, though. Can we go back to Brazil in the field? Like, what does the NFL say?
I literally have written down, I wrote down 2 minutes ago, that at the end of the show when you asked me if I had any last words, my last word was going to be, I got you completely to not distracted so that you did not complain about the field. I was so close.
They're a multi-gazillion dollar industry. Like, the teams, did you see the value of the teams that came out now? The average NFL team is worth $5.93 billion. Collectively, the 32 franchises worth $190 billion, and they can't find a good grass field to play their product on. It's embarrassing.
Isn't that supposed to be a nice stadium?
They were involved in the planning of the field. I don't understand. I really don't understand what happened.
Well, the good news is they're looking to do, 10 games abroad now?
Yeah, that's why I bring it up, because
good luck with that.
This is not going to be a one-off. This is where the future comes. And if you're talking about expanding into other markets, don't you have to make sure that your product can actually be played in that market?
I guess now we'll get to see whether the union says enough is enough.
I mean, they clearly don't care. 21 million people watched week one. It's a 12% increase over last year. Mm-hmm. So it's not like people are turning away from the game. But as a fan, I would rather see top talented players playing on a good surface who can run fast, as opposed to you give Saquon Barkley the ball and the first play, he loses his footing and falls down.
Well, that won't happen on Monday night.
No, it won't at all.
Feel good about that.
Did you have any other thoughts? You mentioned Jordan Love's injury. Christian McCaffrey missed week one with an Achilles. Any thoughts?
Nobody knows what's going on with him.
Yeah. Of course, it got into all the, there should be an investigation people. Because his replacement said that he found out Friday and they never announced until before the game with their reporting. Yeah.
Do you not feel bad for him?
McCaffrey. Like, he was just wanted to celebrate.
He was asked what he thought was in question. And it apparently just didn't go well for him.
No. And then he's got to like worry about it. It's like, not fair.
Yes.
Are you surprised by what we're seeing? There's less passing and more rushing in week one. The first week of the season featured the fewest passing yards, 188.3 yards per team of any opening week this century. The second most rushing yards, 121.5.
You have a theory? Because I do.
I'm just wondering if defenses are catching up or if it's that offenses are slow to start.
Yeah, like, I think what's going on is nobody takes the preseason games seriously enough. So game one is let's work on the basics, and then over time, passing games will open up more.
So do you think that as we go through the season, we'll see that kind of even out and change more?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you just think that's
by week three or four, you'll see more of that. But the other thing is you have more running quarterbacks. So there are going to be more running plays and there's going to be more yards running, but it's not necessarily because the running backs are running more. It'll be because the quarterbacks are more mobile.
Did you have any other thoughts watching the Eagles? We talked all offseason about the new coordinators, a lot of the turnover on defense. To me, it looked like Quinyon Mitchell belonged in the secondary for a rookie being out there. Zach Bond had a really good game, two sacks and like 15 tackles, 11 of them solo.
They held their own against a very good offense, but to me, it wasn't a great showing.
No,
they
but
still gave up a decent amount of points.
Isn't that one of the better offenses they're going to play?
I don't know. Because of you, we never went through the seven.
Oh yes, definitely.
Schedule to actually figure out whether that was going to be
all my fault.
I mean, the Falcons are but not for Kirk Cousins. The Falcons have a very good offense. They have Kyle Pitts. They have Drake London. They have Bijan Robinson. They have a really good offense.
And they play New Orleans next week and then Tampa the week after. New Orleans put up like 40-something points.
Oh, wait. We are not going to...
Come on, we can go through it all
Derek,
now.
We're not turning Derek Carr into a stud.
We can break down
you want to go through the rest of this season, which offense is better? Well, we could do it quickly. I'll do it for you, okay? So, Saints. Yes or no to whether they're a top 10 offense. It's just your gut. It's not based on stats.
No.
Buccaneers.
Right around top 10 on the little
Browns
side. No.
Giants.
No.
Ouch. Bengals.
Should be, but no.
Okay. Jaguars.
No.
Cowboys.
Yes.
Commanders.
No.
Rams.
Right around it.
Ravens.
Right around it. Yeah.
Panthers.
No.
Steelers.
No.
Commanders.
No.
Cowboys.
Yes.
Giants.
No.
Yeah, you're right. They're not going to play very many very good offenses.
So that's, I'm saying that was one of the toughest.
So here's what I'm going to do to you, which is now going to ruin the rest of your season and make you worry into January. They are not going to play a lot of offenses.
You're telling me that they should be.
You
favorite.
Going into the playoffs will not know how good your defense is.
I don't know about that. I think we'll have an idea for what they are, and I'm not going to.
You will be
bite
cursing me at 3 a.m. at some point in the next week.
I refuse to bite on that. I am not going there. Any final?
It's like my jinx. It's just like my jinx power.
Any final NFL thoughts before we talk about?
Before we move on to the circus that now is the NCAA. Yeah, no, let's just go on to the circus.
Who's Venmoing who for dollars? All right, let's go.
You know what? That part's not a circus. That's disgusting. So anybody who's out there who thinks that it is okay to demand or ask for money from a college athlete or pro athlete because they lost, it's their profession. They already lost. They don't need your crap with you complaining because you needed to bet on the game.
It was Auburn quarterback Peyton Thorne. They lost 24.
Who used to be the Michigan State quarterback?
They lost 24-10 to Cal. He was 14 of 17 for 165 yards, and he said on a recent appearance that people are reaching out to him on Venmo. He noted that they don't hit him up when they win, only when they lose.
You mean they don't automatically send him money when they win?
No,
I think even that. even under the current status of the NHL, I think that might be bad. But
yeah, they don't give him a return when he wins. They only hit him up. Look, it's, I mean, come on.
But this is, this, look, we've talked in the past about basketball players have said similar things, and gotten threats and all sorts of stuff. Like, where does, I know before I say this, that you're going to tell me it's a reality. There's nothing you can do. The cat's out of the bag and all that other stuff. And you're right. But this is what happens with gambling in sports.
I don't think there's nothing you can do, by the way.
What do you do? Well, the only thing Peyton Thorne can do is get rid of his Venmo account completely so he can't have the same benefits the rest of us have. Or he's got to find it. I don't know if you could block the entire world except your friends. I have no idea.
And but by the way, I don't know that there is something you can do. I just don't want to proactively throw my hands up and say there's nothing. But I do think it is part of the reality of what it is. And it's a culture that we have of it's always somebody else's fault. So, look, I spent time gambling. It wasn't anybody else's fault. I placed the bets, even if it didn't work out. So for me to call the running back and say, you didn't get that touchdown, okay, but I'm still the one that placed the bet. You know, if your fantasy
if Venmo had existed back then, you wouldn't be sending emails or notes to those players saying that you wanted your money from them?
I got to be honest. I don't know. I was out of my head at the time. I mean, I did and asked for things that I look back now and I'm like, I can't believe that I did that. So I don't know. I was in a headspace when I was gambling that wasn't healthy. And so I'd like to think that I wouldn't have, and I can look at this and, you know, be rational. But when you're in that moment, you're not always rational. So I'm not excusing them. I'm just saying I can't sit here. I would like to think I wouldn't have. That's not who I generally am.
But what happens? I mean, look, somebody sends it and makes some smart ass comment. That's one thing. What about the people that make threats?
Well, that's dangerous. Like,
where does this end with it's still just sports?
Well, eventually somebody's going to get hurt and then they will have to actually have laws about it. That's what happens is we wait till there is a catastrophe or a calamity and then we work backwards to try and fix a problem that we did not fix before that. So that's what ultimately, unfortunately, happens is it keeps getting worse. It's like with my four-year-old, if I continue to let him do things, he will continue to push further until he finds a line that I will not let him pass. There has to be a line that people will not let people pass. And I don't think we've found that yet in terms of this. And I think each week we hear and see more stories about this being an issue. So, I mean, you sent it to me. I knew we had to talk about it on the show the second you sent it.
I'm annoyed again.
Of course you
are. I thought I was getting through this show. Now I'm annoyed.
Well,
not you. I'm just, there's certain things that just sit poorly with me. And this is just one of those things that gambling sits poorly with me.
English speaks poorly with me too.
Apparently English speaks sits poorly with me too. I don't understand why it needs to be part of the game.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but
well, it does.
A decision has been made.
Well, it does because it was money.
Well, again, it was
owners and teams, you know, it just, if there was a way to ban, especially for college sports, I'd do it.
But you know that's not happening.
No, it's not happening.
No.
Should have
happened. What is happening is the Pac-12 is starting to eat the Mountain West. So
Pac-6?
They're now the Pac-6, it looks like.
So interesting, funny little thought. You noticed every team now has state at the end of it.
Are they going to be like the state conference?
I don't know, but what's the point of this? How did the Pac-12 have enough power to take the four best teams from the Mountain West?
Because it's the Pac-12 brand. The name.
But that brand couldn't get a good TV deal.
The idea would be that you can get a good TV deal bringing in the Mountain West, and then you need two more teams to get an automatic bid for the BCS.
Where are they getting those two teams from?
I don't know.
Who's left? Who's left for them to get? Notre Dame, I guess, is still available. Go for it.
You sit here on the radio and say that.
Clemson and Florida State?
You sit here on the radio and say that, but we talked to Armin Gattain a few weeks ago who talked about the ADs that are business people as opposed to ADs, and UCLA and USC are flying east this year to Rutgers and other places. So don't tell me who's left because you know that they'll find two teams to put in there for a TV deal. Like, you know,
but they couldn't get a TV deal when they had USC and Oregon. They had Oregon, which controls a whole bunch of stuff because of Nike. They had USC.
They could have, by the way, they UCLA. Could have gotten.
They had Washington.
They could have gotten a TV deal. They turned it down, if I remember correctly. They wanted a bigger TV deal. And
I know,
that's
but
where they overplayed
the reality
their hands.
Of, here's the reality of Pacific Coast Time Conference problems. The majority of the population is on the East Coast. They continue to want to have games at 10 o'clock at night.
So
if I was the commissioner of whatever conference ends up being formed or existing in Pac-12, Pac-8, Pac-6, Pac-5.5, whatever it is they decide they're going to be, they should make a decision that all of their games will start no later than 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock East Coast times. There will be no Pacific times.
I disagree with you. I actually think the late night game in the era of gambling makes it more desirable for a TV deal because you have the early window, you have the afternoon window, you have the early evening window, and then you have the late night window.
That's gamblers. That's not ratings. That's
what drives ratings.
I totally disagree on this one.
We will
I
always
think that has
agree
been the problem
this.
All along is that the Pac-10 and then the Pac-12 wanted to continue to do things their way, which was having games late, and people aren't staying. Enough people are not staying up for them.
I don't think that's why the Pac-12 didn't end up with a deal, though. The Pac-12
okay,
got
well,
greedy.
Well, we're about to see. But I don't think a conference of Colorado State, Boise State, Washington State, Oregon State, and whatever other states they throw in there is going to move the needle. And by the way, I don't think at the end of the day, they're going to end up having an automatic bid.
If they get two more teams, they get an automatic bid.
Yeah,
8 teams, you get an automatic bid. So that's
every
why,
conference that has 8 teams gets an automatic.
That's why they need 2 more teams.
I guarantee you that'll change.
They
will not get an automatic bid.
The NCAA's minimum required to qualify as an automatic bid to qualify as an FBS conference.
Yes, they are not going to get an automatic bid, and there's nobody in that conference right now that you're going to look at and go, okay, they're going to turn into a powerhouse.
Now, the Mountain West TV deal runs out in 2026, so everybody needs a new TV deal there. So if you have the Mountain West plus the two in the Pac-12, all of a sudden you have a full conference. Again, that's not the old Pac-12 because you took the names out of there. But I will ask you, in the era of the transfer portal, which, by the way, I didn't realize, I didn't pay attention, Dabo Swinney apparently has never found the transfer portal. Do you know he's never started a player from the transfer portal?
Well, Dabo Swinney's got his little holier-than-now attitude.
He's going to end up not the coach.
He needs to do his thing, and he's going to be – he already missed his shot to go to Alabama, so I don't know where he thinks he's going to go. But I think that Clemson is no longer going to be considered a football powerhouse. I don't think they are now, and I don't think they have a chance in the future.
They're definitely falling from grace for sure.
And I don't think it's because they're in the ACC. I think it's because Dabo Swinney thinks he's better and smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, it has
else,
nothing to do with the conference. It's the coach. It's his approach and what he's doing. He thinks he knows better, and he's better than everybody else.
So how much time do we have left?
2.5 minutes, and I do have something.
Oh, can we talk about Colorado for a second?
Go for it.
So if you look at CBS Sports this week,
yes,
they've now moved Shador out of the first round.
Deion's not going to like that. He might not call them at the next press conference.
It appears he can't get along with the media, and he's supposed to be a media darling. He can't apparently get along with his own son.
He can't find an offensive line for his kid. That's for damn sure.
And his son, his father, who is in the NFL, who knows PR, doesn't seem to be able to convince his own kid that it is a bad idea under every circumstance to throw your offensive line under the bus.
Oh yeah, they blame everybody.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but did you hear the story about telling the band not to play the school fight song and instead play Shador's music?
Yeah, he came out and said that was ridiculous, but I heard the same thing. See, I was going to send that to you.
What is going on? He's not. I told you all along he would not be there by the end of year two. There is no way he is back for a year three.
But they made a lot of money in that first year, and he sold a lot of sunglasses from his endorsement deal. I did see
he did sell a lot of sunglasses, and applications are up and all of that stuff, but it was all he was a false idol. All of this was nonsense.
We have less than a minute left. I have to tell you, I want to bring up in a future week. Did you see ESPN's using more AI to report their news?
No, I did not.
They had a
really wanted to ruin my weekend.
Listen to
you?
Me. They had a recap of Alex Morgan's final professional match.
Yeah.
It failed to mention Alex Morgan.
Because it was AI?
I guess they didn't do a good enough job with the AI. I think it needs to be tweaked a little bit. We're not ready to
I thought AI was perfect.
We're not ready to not have reporters on these games yet.
So let's end our show with talking about Alex Morgan.
It was awesome.
One of the greats of her sport.
It was cool to
the sport,
how she
and
went.
A class individual.
Being there with her daughter on the field. It was good stuff. It definitely was. It's going to be the last thought. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next Friday night to help you start your weekend in style. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.